Hey, so it's good to be here. If you've never heard me speak before, welcome. And I do this thing, right? So like, it's not so much that I'm nervous anymore, like that was early days, right? I think there always is a sense of nerves, but like, for me, my mouth like attacks my body. And I have to drink water constantly. So what we do is, it's more for my ego than anything else, to be honest, is whenever I take a sip of water, we call it a praise break. So whenever I grab the water and sip, right, we're going to practice. If you've been around for a while, you know. If you haven't, just follow everyone else. Ready? Let's go. So good. So, hey, we're going to do that. It makes me sound amazing on the podcast. So, and then my daughter listens to it, and she's like, Dad, people love you. And I'm like, not really. I was drinking water, but it's all good. So, hey, we're gonna continue today on the same series that we had. But before we do that, I just want to give some honor where honor is due. Let's give it up for our pastors Chris and Audrey. They're amazing, and just want to say thank you for sharing the platform with me and trusting it. And if I say anything dumb, you gave me the microphone, so it's your fault. It's going to be good. It's going to be an amazing message. I believe that this word is God-breathed, and I just pray that I communicate it to you the way God spoke it to me, right? So we're going to continue on receiving issues. Everyone enjoying that series? See, the title of my message is The Masks That We Wear. And just to preface it a little bit, I think a lot of times the issues that we have with receiving a lot of times are because of the filters that we view things through, but also the filters that we put on ourselves, right? Could I pray? All right. Actually, Courtney, would you pray for us?
Pull me up. All right. Jesus, thank you so much for tonight, God. I pray that you would just stir up this room, that George's words would just hit home, that it would transform us, Jesus. I pray that we would just have bigger perspective walking out of here, that we would see the world the way you see it, and we would see your people through your eyes, and it would just change us, transform us, and we'd have a better Monday because of it. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Courtney is amazing. So, hey, anyone ever have a strange first encounter at church? Yeah, you can raise your hands. Oh, good. I've actually had two strange, I know it's weird, right? You can only have one first encounter, but I feel like I've had two, and I want to share them with you. So I didn't really grow up in church, right? Like, we would go on your typical holidays, like Easter, Christmas, those kind of things, and we would go from time to time, but it wasn't an every Sunday thing, right? But because we would go from time to time, right, like, I always had a sense of, I want this. Like, there's something to this environment, right? Even as a little kid. Like, our kids grew up in church. Our kids, we have pictures of them that, like, they're sleeping on the floor in the front row. There's, like, gum in their hair. I'm like, I don't even know where they got gum in their hair from. I blame the leaders on the front row. And so, like, I've always known that there was a sense of God, right? Fast forward, I'm so hungry for whatever this is, right, that I just start going to every church possible. I started from the age of like 16 when I got my license, and I'm driving to random churches, and I found this one church. And look, I'm not saying anything bad about churches. There's a church for everyone out there, right? This just happens to be my experience. And so I went to this church, and I'm sitting kind of in the front row, not really, but out of nowhere, like, I don't even know what happened, right? Like, the pastor was preaching, and then out of nowhere, like, everyone literally got up and ran to the front and, like, fell. I was the only person, like, where Josh is, and I'm just kind of looking around, and I automatically did what I thought I should do. I got up, and I ran to the front row, and I dropped down, and I started praying, but I was, like, praying, like, Jesus, please don't bring out snakes, and, like, I don't want that right now. I just want you. I'm sorry. I didn't know that this was that type of church. But here's the thing. I kept going back. But now, even though it felt weird to me, right, I felt like I had to put on a mask of whatever it was that they wanted me to do. So I would oftentimes be the one to lead the pack, right? Like, out of nowhere, I would just get up and run and fall. And then I'd look back. 9 times out of 10, most people would come. There's always that one off where I was like, all right, I got to get back up and go to my chair, right? It was horrible. And it wasn't until I started getting God for myself, right, that I realized that some things had to go, some things had to shift. Fast forward, I meet Leslie. And when I met Leslie, I didn't know that her mom and dad were pastors. Guys, like, you ever been, like, not in church and gone to a pastor's house? Like, growing up being around a pastor, I was like, oh, my God, like, they're holy. They're holier than me for sure. I was at the pastor's house having coffee. After church, I couldn't stop sweating. Like, I was sweating so bad, I was nervous. On top of that, they're feeding me coffee, which makes me even more hot. I literally went to the bathroom, I would probably say about 20 times. And I realized that what I was actually doing was I was going to the bathroom, but it wasn't because I needed to go to the bathroom, but in a sense, I was going to the bathroom and I'd look myself in the mirror and just kind of go, okay, George, you got this. Let's adjust the mask. All right, good, yep. You look like a Christian. Okay. Hey, pastor. How are you? You ever find that you're doing that? You ever find yourself in an environment where you kind of have to shift your mask a little bit? Let's be honest. We all do it. We're going to give this a try. It was at that church where I tried so hard to fit in, and I remember there was this one guy, I looked up to him, and like, I thought he was so cool. In retrospect, like, he wasn't really that cool, but he was cool to me then, and I remember every time I shook his hand, for whatever reason, like, he just wouldn't look at me. He'd go like this, right? And I always thought, and honestly, like, it probably says more about me, where I was, than anything else, because just the way I was interpreting, right? Like, maybe he was just having a bad day every Sunday, whatever. But it was, so I remember I would do everything I can to make sure that he saw me worshiping. I would do everything I can to make sure that I was the first one on my knees praying, and then I'd look up. I'd make sure that I was the first one holding the offering bucket, because we did that back then. I would make sure I was the first one. All the while, I just wanted to make sure that my mask would stay on long enough so that no one would find me out, because I already thought that he had an inkling, and that's why he wouldn't look me in the eyes when he shook my hand. But the reality was that it didn't really matter. My mask was my mask, and I had it on. It didn't matter whether I shifted it or painted it or changed it. It just was what it was. And the reality was that I was seeking validation from someone else, a man who I should have been seeking validation from was God. So fast forward, and it's funny because my first church experience, right, like the two first church experiences, make sure you put that in your notes. George had two first church experiences. But I was reminded of these experiences when we were in Spain, in Barcelona a few weeks back. And if you don't know, like, we were in Barcelona for a few weeks, my wife Leslie and I were being sent to go plant a church there. So, hey, be praying for that and believing with us and partnering with us. And our Barcelona experience was amazing. Like, we landed on the ground and God spoke a word over us saying that, like, our feet or Leslie's feet would be touching the ground where we're called to be by the time she's 40. We landed on the 18th. Her birthday was the 19th. It wasn't planned that way. It just happened that way. Right? So Barcelona's amazing, and like, we spent the first 2 days just kind of praying and talking through things, and from there we spent the next 8 days literally meeting with people. We met with over 30 people. Yeah, it was sick. Like, 30 people from the minute we woke up to the minute we went to bed. And like, what I didn't realize is time there is different, right? So like lunch is at 2, which means dinner's at 10, which means bedtime is like 3 a.m. and you're back up at 6 to go to work. And I was like, my feet hurt. Whew. We were averaging like 7 miles a day and like all this stuff, right? But what I found interesting was this. Although the people were amazing, the experience was amazing, we held 2 interest nights. And we actually had a difficult time. It was a challenge to get people to come over to our Airbnb. So we had some friends there that we've met prior to. They wanted to help us launch. And we had dinner with them at our Airbnb. And I was like, hey, I just don't get it. Like, how come people don't like us? Right? Like, how come they don't want to come over? And he was like, oh, no, you don't understand. Like, what happens is this. It's a cultural thing. So people don't like going to other people's houses unless it's family, because going to someone's house is a little bit too intimate. Huh. Okay. But we're hanging out at the plaza till like 3 a.m. Right? Like, we're getting some one-on-one time at the plaza at like 3 a.m. I just want to be closer to my bed. Like, to be honest with you, I'm just tired and my feet hurt. I just want people to come over to my house. I don't want to go to the plaza anymore. Right? But here's what I realized. I realized this one thing. The reason they wanted to go to the plaza or the restaurants or the bars was because it wasn't intimate, right? Because at the bar, at the restaurant, at the plaza, you have time and you have space to adjust some things. And then you keep talking. You have time to get up and walk off and make sure that your slip isn't showing and you're good and you're buttoned up, and then you go back and you keep talking. I'll tell you this, the people that did come over, we had the best conversations ever. The people that did come over, when they took their masks off and the real them was actually in front of us and the real us was in front of them, those were the people that actually put their hands up and said, yes, I want to be a part of this. Yes, I want to be a part of People Church. Out of the 30 that we met, 14 put their hands up. It's bigger than the team we had launching here. God's doing amazing things in Barcelona, and God's doing amazing things across the globe through People Church in faith. Pastor Chris, I love you. Amazing. It's funny how we try to hold on to things that we know we should let go of. People hold on to that mask. I dare not put it down. Because what if someone sees the real me? You know, we're in Spain. This is actually a funny story. There's this Spanish ham. It's called fuet. Have you guys ever heard of it? Yes, 2 people. This ham is amazing. It's the best. It's amazing. Hold on real quick. So we literally ate it every single night we were there, right? Like, we'd chop it up and there's a whole thing to it. It has to be like so thin that you could see the moon through it, is what they say. So like, that's what we did, and it was amazing. So before we got on the airplane, we like packed our luggage full of the Spanish ham. And we got to the airport and they're like, do you guys have any produce or whatever? And I was like, Les, we gotta tell them about this ham. And she's like, no, we'll just get it through. I'm like, Les, they have scanners. They're going to see the ham. She's like, I cannot leave Spain without the ham. Right? So I'm like desperately Googling to see if there's this kind of ham here in Chicago or anywhere in the U.S. where it's driving distance or even flying distance where I don't have to pass border customs. We got busted. We did. We had to get rid of all of our ham. And the most embarrassing thing in the world is pulling out all this ham in front of all these people at the airport. And people are like, what in the world are they doing? I told you, Les, I told you. You shouldn't bring ham. So we haven't found the ham yet, but it's still in Spain, and we have to get it when we get back. I would say that is top 2 most embarrassing at the airports. I traveled with Pastor Chris once, and we stayed in a hotel. This is completely off topic. We stayed in a hotel, And the church that we were at, they honored us, right? So they brought these baskets with like all these treats and granola bars or whatever. So we were leaving and Pastor Chris is like, hey, I don't have room in my bag. I was like, yeah, sick, I'll put it in mine. So I put all these treats inside my bag. It was stuffed. It was a book bag stuffed with treats. We get to the airport and the lady's like, hey, you got to empty out that bag. There's like a lot of chocolate in there. So I literally spent 15 minutes and I'm like, sure, the chubby guy with all the candy. It's not even mine. It's his. Top two most embarrassing moments at an airport. True stories. Hey, sometimes to get where we're going, we have to leave some things behind. The problem is, like, the Spanish ham, however funny it may be, like, there was an investment there, right? We spent money, we paid for the bag, we stocked it all up, like, we had plans for it. And I think sometimes we don't let things go because we've already invested in them. I can't let this relationship go. I have too much time here. This job is too important. I have years there. I have too much money invested, George. God, I can't let it go. I'm sorry. Anything else but this. To be honest, it was either the ham or home. Sometimes you gotta let some things go. Amen. Man, could I just say, I believe there's some people in here tonight, and I believe that you've been stuck in a season. And I think you've been stuck in a season blaming God because you're stuck in a season. But I believe, like Pastor Audrey said, like there's going to be some things shifting tonight. And I believe that this word is for someone here. I believe the breakthrough for your next season happens tonight. But you have to understand, you have to let some things go. It's got to cost you something. Is that cool? Hey, could we throw up Exodus 34? Thank you, by the way. So Exodus 34, 29, 35, when Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron saw the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over. And then he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them the instructions the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face, so he would put the veil over his face until he returned again. I love this, right? Because I just picture me doing it, right? Like, imagine out of everyone in this room, God chose me. And he's like, hey, George, you get to come and talk to me. I'm pretty fancy. I get to talk to God himself, right? So he goes up, he gets the instructions, and it's pretty crazy because right before this, the only reason this is happening is because he actually smashed the first set of commandments. Like, he came down, the people were going crazy. He was like, oh, psh, crashed. So then God's like, all right, dude, we got to do this all over again. Now come back up. But if it was me, I think my chest would be puffed out a little bit. I think I would enjoy the veil. I think I would walk around going, reminder, God chose me. You guys ever read that story like that? You ever look at your life or look at other people's lives and go, hey, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what that looks like. Have there ever been a moment in your life where you actually stopped and gone like, man, like, I know this is wrong, but I actually feel a certain type of way about this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Moses was a bigger person than I am. I'm sure he was because he spoke to God personally. But maybe his pride didn't get puffed up. Mine would have. I would have been calling Leslie like, do you know what just happened to me today? You have no idea. I spoke to God. I still have a veil. I'm glowing. I saw this documentary, and this documentary was about these gang members, like these like real ruthless gang members, right? They were like in prison, and they're self-proclaimed, and they're given their stories. And man, it was intriguing and sad and inspiring at the same time, because there were men and women just like me and you. They just made bad decisions. They got dealt a bum card, bum hand. They had to make choices that maybe they weren't proud of, and here they are years later trying to make their lives right again. What I found interesting was that all of them had tattoos all over their faces, right? I'm all for tattoos. I have tattoos. This isn't about the tattoos on the faces. This is about why they got the tattoos on the faces, right? So understand the heart behind this for a second. They all had the gang name tattooed on their face. They had teardrops for murders they've committed. They had jail bars on their necks, one for each year they've spent in jail. They had their crime, their gang name. You could probably say that they had their identity written on their face. They had everything that people said about them. They had everything they've done, every bad thing that life gave them. Their identity was fully on their face. This documentary took a picture of these guys fully tatted on their faces. Again, not about the tattoos, what it represents. They photoshopped all the tattoos off and showed them a picture of what they would have looked like had life not gotten the best of them. These guys were in tears, crying. My God, I regret. Oh my God, I can't believe this is me. This is what I would look like? Oh my God, my daughter wouldn't be scared of me. Oh my God, people wouldn't. Isn't it incredible how the enemy has a way of making you believe the things that you've done, the things that people have spoken over your life, and he takes them and goes, hey, this is actually your identity now. It's yours. You're not going to be able to do anything with it. I think sometimes the mask makes us feel good. For these gentlemen and the women in this documentary, they said sometimes it protected them. It protected them from violent attacks because people were afraid of them. It gave them the respect they needed. It gave them what they called love from other people because their stories were on their faces, and now they had something in common with someone else. See, if we could throw up this next verse. Second Corinthians 3:14. So this is a little bit further ahead. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, wherever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. That is, do we have the NIV version? Basically, it says this. It says, let us not be like Moses, which kept the veil on his face longer than necessary because he didn't want to expose that was fleeting. So basically what they're telling us is let's not be like Moses, who keeps the veil on his face so that no one sees that the glory of God is actually fleeting from his face. Did Moses like the veil? Man, I wonder if it's not just a Moses thing or a me and you thing, but I wonder if it's a humanity thing. I wonder if masks are just part of the human experience. See, there's another man in the Bible who came down, and his face was glowing as well. Could I just say this? This is actually kind of funny. I often wonder if Moses was a gangbanger, right? Like if he was tatted. If he would have the Red Sea parted right here on his neck. If he would have a teardrop from the soldier he killed. See, his veil was different, but it was still a veil. His tattoos were different, but it was still a mask. See, in this verse here, we're going to read in Matthew. As the men watched, Jesus appeared, appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. See, what I find interesting is that when Moses came down and his face was glowing, people were afraid. People ran from Moses. He had to cover his face up. See, the glory of God for Moses reflected back to the people their inequities. It reflected back to the people all of their failures, all of their shortcomings, all the times they messed up. That's what it was. But now we have Jesus, and Jesus shows up and his face is glowing. And while people are running away from Moses, people here are running towards Jesus. See, I believe tonight, God is saying no more receiving issues. See, I believe tonight some masks are going to come off. See, I believe tonight God's going to do some transformation. If these guys could come out. See, we all wear masks. Every single person in this room is wearing some kind of mask. Whether it's, I was bullied as a kid, I grew up bullied, so now I act super tough because I want no one to mess with me ever again. Whether it's someone that was abused and you've been so hurt that now you act like nothing could hurt you. See, I believe tonight God wants to speak to somebody. See, I believe that the freedom is not just between us and Jesus when the mask comes off, but between me and you, between us, between the church. See, that's where the power is. See, I believe God wants to come in tonight and go, hey, I know. You know what? Whatever you're going through, me too. You were battered. You were abused. You suffered. You know what? Me too. I've been through it. I've been through all of it. Hey, could I just help you take your mask off here? Before Jesus, after Jesus. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I know what everyone said about you. I know that sometimes you lay in your bed and you're crying and you don't know how you're going to make it to the morning, but let me tell you, I'm with you. Let me tell you, there's a plan for your life. Let me tell you, there's no more need for that mask. Let me tell you that the brightest day ahead of you is tomorrow. And the brightest day after that is the day after that and the day after that. And your life is going to wind up. I just need you to do one thing for me. No more receiving issues. Let's take the mask off. Yeah, we'll do it together. All right. Hey, you know what? I know churches hurt you. I know your parents hurt you. I know that you feel like they didn't love you. I know that you feel let down. I know that you were abused. I know that you're hurt. I know there's things you have to work through, but me too. Let me tell you what, me too. Jesus hung on the cross, taking out all of our sins so that he could sit before you and go, hey, me too. Me too. You were abandoned? Me too. You were hurt? Me too. Hey, no more. Could we take the mask off? Let's take it off. So good. So good. Thank you, guys.